This is verse 23 of chapter 16. She who abandons the injunctions of the scriptures and behaves as impelled by her desires does not attain understanding for liberation, nor happiness, or the highest state, the self. She who abandons the injunctions of the scriptures and behaves as impelled by her desires does not attain understanding for liberation, nor happiness, or the highest state, the self. So let's go through some of these words now before we give the overarching meaning. So scriptures, they use shastra. So classically, this could be interpreted as the Vedas, but they don't use the word the Vedas. It just, shastras can also be translated as the teachings. So the Gita is included, but 21st century America, we could make it any sort of book or text or teacher that you have given or you hold in very high esteem and regard, or is held in that sort of highest spiritual context as a wisdom container. It'd be the shastra, the teachings. And injunctions is a really interesting word, because injunctions is like a law, a do not do. So I think at first this statement almost is like, make sure you're being a good person, but we're not practicing like do's and don'ts when we contemplate non-duality. So injunction has to actually take on a different sort of meaning. Doesn't take on the meaning of like a rule that you could break or adhere to. It takes on more like a law, so much as this is how it is, whether you like it or not. This is different than like a parent telling you this is how it is, and then you could probably like break from that and maybe have to deal with a punishment. This is more like, when the apple is ripe, it falls from the tree. It's a law. We can't rush the apple ripening. We can't change how the apple ripens. When it's ripe, it falls from the tree. It's a law. And so by injunction, it's like, this is how things work, is what they mean in this verse. So it's not something like, you could be bad at this, or you could be good at this. It's just, if this, then that. So, if the seeker ignores, or in the translation they use, abandons the injunctions, if we try to disregard the law that has been retold countless times in ancient texts or ancient wisdoms, and we all know these sort of things like be a kind person, don't eat too much, don't eat too little, keep your lustful desires in check. These sort of things that were maybe once like rules. They're trying to give us the perspective that it's for your own good, and you can actually come to a true understanding of why. A person who does not follow the injunctions of the scriptures, they say, behaves as impelled by desires. This is very important. As impelled means as if. It appears as though. It's another way to say as impelled. It appears as though they are impelled by desires. And so impelled is like you are pushed by. You are pushed by. So maybe you can think about yourself now, or maybe you see other people, and it appears, right, as impelled. It appears as though they are almost being thrown around by their desires. They crave something, they have to go get it. They are almost a victim to that yearning. They have no control. It appears that way, as impelled, because this is a non-dual statement, meaning there's no choice in the matter anyway. That's why I say as impelled. So the person who appears as though as impelled by desires does not attain liberation because they've ignored the injunctions of the teachings, the law of the teaching. So they do not entertain the understanding for liberation, nor happiness, or the highest state, the self. And these things, let's break those words down. The word in the Sanskrit that's used is siddhim, and Gary translated it as understanding for liberation, but it could also be a maturation process. A person who is impelled by their desires, they do not mature into the wisdom of the truth. They just go through their whole life controlled by, or it looks like they're a victim of, these impulses. But siddham is, in Sanskrit, it's actually a conjugation of the word siddhi. And a siddhi, in yoga, you may hear it's like powers. It's almost like superpowers. But what it really, it's like transcendent power. Is a siddhi. Transcendent power. It's like you have lifted your consciousness out of and into something of greater worth, of greater value. Because the picture they're painting here is that being impelled by your desires, just going about, that's not happiness. That's the next piece. The word they use here is sukham. Sukham is actually pleasure, happiness and pleasure. So you get in, you, now this is tough to grasp, but you think, oh, you eat a delicious meal, or you're intimate with somebody. But as impelled, it means that we project that in that meal, I will have a sense of happiness, a sense of peace, a sense of liberation. And they're just saying, it doesn't work that way. Maybe you know this experience. You really want something, you crave it, you are almost pushed to go get it, but then you go get it, it's outside yourself, you consume it, and then was there real pleasure? Was there real happiness there? What was the actual experience of it? And you're saying this is like a fool's errand. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work out because the teachings have a law explaining this. Then the last part, nor will that person ever gain the supreme state. Param gatim. Param, limitless. Param, supreme. Supreme really means limitless. By limitless, it means there is no ends, there's no bounds. But if we are impelled by our desires, what happens is this supreme energy, this limitless energy, through our own power to create, sort of sabotages itself. It comes down, it reaches out through our imaginations, and puts itself, it hides itself away in those objects, whether it's the food, the drugs, the rock and roll, the sex, whatever it may be, whatever sort of lowly aim you sort of have created for yourself in your value set. And it hides it in there. It takes that limitless power, the param, and it tries to pack it away in these objects. And then you, as the seeker, instead of cultivating peace of mind and humility, which would be things like what the scriptures or the teachings would say to cultivate, we are thrown around to go try and capture those objects again. Because we see those objects and we don't see them as just objects in the world. We see them as little jewels of limitless power. But they say, once if you ever get those things, you don't actually get what you think you're getting. And so this is, I think, a beautiful teaching because, again, it's not like a do or don't. It's like, how's that working out for you? Right? Like you're just saying, like, you could go do this. What's your experience, right? does it, do you get the satisfaction that you're hoping for, or is it empty-handed? It's not quite good enough again. And so then it's like a, say, hey, you don't have to do it again. You don't have to do it again. It's not going to get better the next time either. And so we're sort of working out this little belief structure in our own minds. Is it going to work out? Maybe you're still impelled by that desire. You have to go do it again. So the teaching, ignoring the teaching, these are, it appears as though, what are you doing if you're ignoring the teaching? It looks as though you're just being hurtled through life. Now, it's not to say that these things are bad. This is a very important distinction in the non-dual awareness. Not to say that you can't enjoy good food, you can't have close relations with people, you can't enjoy life, and you just, hedonism isn't going to work out long term. And it's not even like you have to try and regulate yourself, try to control your temptations. These are sort of, they're dualistic approaches. You see what I mean? Like you have an ego, a personality. I get uncontrollable when I'm around a delicious meal. I can't stop myself. And I have to try and control it. This is not what they're suggesting. This is not what the non-dual perspective is. It's just saying it's a law. If you're not listening to the sastra, the teaching, then it's going to look as though you are being thrown around. Nothing bad is really going to happen to you other than the suffering that you get by getting thrown around, by impelled by your desire. It's not like you burn in hell later in life, or, you know, it's like a direct one-to-one relationship. It's happening now. The suffering is now. And so you don't think of it like a warning that you could not listen to, so much as, what's your real experience of it yourself? Are you getting tired of it? Are you getting tired of another thing not quite being good enough and having to go after it again? A bigger one, more expensive one, whatever it may be. So just to counter, because it's kind of a negation verse, what does it mean to not abandon the teachings, the shastra? What is that like? To follow, right? To not ignore, to pay attention to is the opposite of ignore, right? Pay attention to. To pay attention is to listen to how actually sensitive you are, how gentle a being you are, how peaceful a being you are, how calm a being you already are. The more you start to turn inward, these are classic phrases you hear all over. Every teaching says this, right? Be humble, be peaceful, be mindful, treat people kindly. Treat yourself kindly. Don't stay up too late. Don't work too hard. Don't be lazy. Right? These classic things, like, what do they mean? Not as rules we have to abide by and make sense of, but perhaps they are written inside of us. That the shastra is written inside of how we are. In the Tao Te Ching, another ancient text, it says, return to your natural way. That we are, when we don't hide the limitlessness in objects outside of us, that limitlessness just stays open, it stays free. And we feel as though we always have it. We don't have to go get it, we don't have to own it, we don't have to steal it from somebody else. Everybody has access to it all the time. This is in the teachings. It's always there. What is it like to just sit with the laws of the universe? That state of being, That's the freedom. That is the limitlessness. She who abandons the injunctions of the scriptures and behaves as impelled by her desires does not attain understanding for liberation, nor happiness, or the highest state, the self.